They were in Cornwall, on the cliff. He was to the side, looking out to sea. The Wind Bear, that's what he called himself. A windbreak, other people might say. She always used him for that. The cliff was like a slice of cake. She was standing where the cherry would have gone, turned away from him, shading her eyes. Seal spotting. And George was thinking to himself, just one push, just one little push, and all my troubles will be over.
The Wind Bear by David Ashton, with Bernard Hepton, Norman Jones, and Alex Norton.
Yes?
Mr. Marchbanks?
Yes?
Mr. George Marchbanks?
Yes?
Detective Sergeant Smith, sir, of my car?
Yes, I see. Hello.
Hello, this is Constable MacIver.
How do you do?
Sir, may we come inside for a moment, sir?
No.
Why not, pray tell?
Hoovering. Chaos, chaos and dust all over the place.
I see. We don't mind, do we, John?
No. Our office is full of dust.
Mountains of it.
Mountains of motes, eh?
Yeah, so we don't mind at all, sir. Of course, we can always talk to you out here.
Yeah, I prefer that. One always feels at Easter cleanliness is next to godliness, and I'm very far from nirvana at the moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's about your wife, Mr. Marchbanks.
Yeah.
We'd like to speak to her for a moment, if we may.
No, it's not possible.
Why not, sir?
She's not here, I'm afraid.
I see. Do you know where she might be, by any chance?
No. No. Haven't a clue. It's 9:15. Bound for Cairo.
Is it really?
No, I don't suppose so. Flight of the imagination. Skies are full of them.
I wander lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er hills and dales. When all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils.
Yes, they have come up well, haven't they? Like the hydra's teeth.
10,000 saw I at a glance.
Wordsworth should have been a market gardener, really.
About your wife, sir, not a clue, I think you said.
That's right. Oh, dear. Here comes the 9:18. Perhaps you better come in.
But I warn you, the way is paved with thistles.
That's all right, sir. We're used to falling down holes, aren't we, sir?
On my life.
Left, left. Straight ahead is the bear pit.
Yes, indeed, sir. Thank you very much.
God almighty.
Careful, careful.
You almost crushed the snout of Thomas a Becket.
It's an alligator.
Well spotted. A policeman's eye for detail. Indeed, an alligator. No piece of crockery, are you, Thomas?
Is it, dead?
Unfortunately so. Dead to the world. But he stands his ground like a true man of the church. Don't you, Thomas? You look rather fetching with mitre and robes, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Is there any chance of a bit more light in here, sir?
Not really. I don't like light very much. Hurts my eyes.
Yes, I do sympathise, but unfortunately I can't see where I'm going very well. I don't know about John.
Oh, I can't see either. Not a blind thing.
Very well. I shall grant you a little, but not much.
Saints preserve us.
Don't get Irish on me. A menagerie.
Is it, sir?
Taxidermy.
The craft of animal reconstruction. The very stuff of life.
I see. You are a taxidermist.
No. Work in electronics, actually. This was a hobby of mine before I became married. Betrothed. rooted in wedlock, one might say. Now, may I introduce some of my dearest friends who stand around you?
Feel free.
Well, actually... Thomas A. Becket, Spread Eagle on an Easter Friday by the cruel message of the crucifixion, you have already met.
On the floor.
On the floor. To your left, in the armchair, which he absolutely refuses to vacate, is Jean-Paul, my French duck, un canard. Named after his fellow countryman and writer, Jean-Paul Sartre, with whom he shares the same dyspeptic disposition. Note the beady eye, indicative of same.
Sartre? Does he know some kind of Marxist?
No, no, more of a mallard. Towering above him, to the left of the chair, is Mr. Joyce, an intellectual heron from the bogs of Dublin. Well, County Kerry, actually. He has a long, keen blade of a nose, which he employs with murderous accuracy, like his namesake.
Joyce. Is that spelt with a Y?
Yes. Oh, God, what's that? Ah, Brunhilde.
A bear.
Correct. She stands by the window, gazing somberly in the direction of the Canadian Rockies. From whence she came.
A black bear.
But never a bugbear. My oldest companion, my first love, Brunhilde. She sings beautifully of the world of Ursus.
Mr. Marchbanks.
Yes?
Any chance of a cup of tea?
Of course, of course. Sacrament?
Eh?
Milk and sugar?
Oh, yes, please. Lots. Thanks.
Same for me. The stronger the better.
I shall inform the tea bags. Make yourself at home. Move Jean-Paul, if you like, but be careful. He is apt to snap. His feet, I mean. In one's hand. Come off. Lame duck.
What's the matter with you?
I hate stuffed animals. My uncle had a stuffed weasel in his cocktail cabinet. Used to give me nightmares.
Well, you're a big boy now. What do you think?
I don't know. I can't think.
There's no air in this place. Stuff it, eh? Did you get it? Stop it.
Very funny.
Once we have our tea, we'll pin him down like a butterfly.
Oh, he's got you at it and all. God, I'd kill for a cup of tea.
There is a smell of evil in this place.
That bear gives me the willies.
She's not even looking at you. I used to know a girl about that build. Bella, the Beast of Bardrainey, she was called.
Do me a favour, MacIver, spare me the Celtic reminiscences.
I used to have a whole collection of veritable Noah's Ark. All the birds of the air, cats, domestic and wild, long and short-tailed primates, even an Irish sitter. But last Christmas, Margot took them all down to the corporation dump. Luckily, the famous four here were in exile in the woodshed at the time.
What are they doing back out now?
Tea, help yourself, a biscuit.
Margot, wouldn't that be Mrs. Marchbanks?
Correct.
About whose whereabouts you know nothing about.
Correct again. After you with the digestive.
Oh, yes. I don't want to seem as if I'm prying in your private life, Mr. Marchbanks, but most men have more than a passing knowledge of where their wives happen to be, even if they're where they don't want them to be.
Ah, yes. The doom of matrimony.
You could describe it like that. Top top tea.
Yes, yes. Let me put it this way, Mr. Marchbanks.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife has not been seen in her garden for 2 weeks.
It's fascinating. How do you know?
We have tributaries.
Like the Nile.
Oh, closer than that.
Ah, Nanny No Knickers.
Eh? Beg pardon, sir?
Lives across the road. Has a plethora of underclothing which she hangs incessantly on the line. Ergo, one cannot but conclude that since it is upon the line, it cannot be upon her. Hence the name.
Nanny No Knickers.
With a K.
Oh, aye. With a K.
Now look, now, if you like.
Right.
I guarantee her washing line will be a kaleidoscope of marks and sparks, please. Primrose yellow seems to be the predominant colour.
Yes, funny flaunting them like that.
The ways of women, dark and mysterious.
Aren't they just?
However, Nanny, Mrs. Roberts, informs us that your wife never passes a day without tending to her front garden. That is, until 2 weeks ago, after you came back from holiday, when she did not appear. And has not appeared since.
In the front garden.
Her domain, roses and daffodils, thorns and jaundice.
The back garden being your domain.
None of it's my domain. I loathe gardens.
According to Mrs. Roberts...
Where is she?
Across the street, hanging out the washing, no doubt.
Your wife, sir, your wife. Spouse.
Shh. You frightened Brunhilde.
Good God, the bear is dead.
But a lady, nevertheless.
Oh. You see, sir. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Roberts phoned us up, sir. Her and your missus were our pally, she says. She would never have let 2 weeks go by, she says, without popping over to tell me what the holly was like, she says.
Oh, decent enough weather.
And 2 weeks without her tending to the roses and daffs. Unprecedented, she says.
They don't miss her.
And when I asked Mr. Marchbanks, she says, he told me to mind my own business.
I did.
So, she phones us, she says. Mrs. Marchbanks, her friend, she says, she thinks, is lying mouldering under the sink. Or some such place, she thinks, she says.
Certainly not the sink. Enough smells in it from there as it is. You're welcome to check.
Ah, well, I'll take you up on that. I'll take you right up on that.
Constable MacIver is a little short on patience, sir, but the Scots have never been noted for that. Witness Culloden. However, you must see it from this point of view. Missing wife, whereabouts unknown.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
I could have told you that. Sit down. Stop making an exhibition of yourself. You see how it is, sir. Unless you can provide us with some kind of explanation, proceedings will have to be instituted. We can't have front garden people vanishing. Now, sir, would you like to make a statement of some ilk, read the matter in hand?
The pen is poised.
We came back from holiday, late start, due to Margot's insistence on having what she termed a solid breakfast.
Holiday? Where, sir?
Cottage, Cornwall, remote, dingy, dead slugs. Stopped at all the little chefs on the A30. Onto the 303, more little chefs. Back onto the A30. Staines, Hounslow, Isleworth, cradle of culture. Arrived back about 10, went to bed.
Sleep separate, sir?
Yes, back to back. Room-wise. Woke in the morning, out for the paper, returned, thought, that's funny, no early morning aroma of streaky bacon polluting the air. Went upstairs, knocked on door, opened door.
No answer?
No Margot. Clothes to the right and left, suitcase under bed, but no Margot. Crumbs, crumpled sheets therein, but no Margot. Gone, vanished, disparu.
That it?
That's it.
Was a house search instituted?
Oh, yes. Every nook and cranny. Gone. Did it once before.
Oh, yes?
Yes, the sales. 3 years ago. On a Saturday.
Yes.
Not there in the morning. Came back in the evening, laden with useless bargains.
But that was only one day. We're talking about 2 weeks.
It's spring sales at the moment.
Don't be facetious, sir. This is a serious business.
What was she wearing, sir? What would she be wearing?
If she left, she must have worn something.
Well, yes, she must have.
And she couldn't go naked, could she? Not an Isleworth.
No.
Then what was she wearing when she left?
If she left.
Did you see her leave?
No.
Has she left?
Yes.
Then what was she wearing?
I suppose the same outfit she travelled in.
And what was that?
A mauve check twin set.
With pearls?
No.
A mauve check?
Yes. Almost tartan.
Shoes?
Brogues, brown, always.
Handbag?
Like her right arm.
Colour? Head?
Never wears it. Peacock blue.
The handbag?
Yes.
Wear a mauve check twin set?
Yes.
Well, we shall be able to pick her out in a crowd.
If she's there.
Photograph?
There must be one somewhere.
That seems fine as far as it goes, sir. Except for one small item.
Yes?
Didn't it worry you, sir, when your wife failed to return? One day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks. I'm asking myself, did he worry?
Did he?
Did you?
I did. Did I?
No, obviously not. You would have reported it else.
To the authorities?
Us.
The old firm.
The Isleworth Blue Bottles.
Yes.
No, you didn't. Why didn't you, sir?
Well, because...
Yes?
I just didn't.
No, you didn't.
We seem to have established that conclusively.
Why not?
Did you like your wife, sir?
Were you bullied at school?
We're waiting, sir.
It was the silence, you see. The heavenly silence. Each day became more and more seductive. Folded in upon itself. Tranquil. Hushed. Shh. Like being inside the rock upon which the sirens sang. Heavenly peace.
Made a lot of noise, your wife.
Coughed, grunted, sneezed, smoked, choked, false teeth at breakfast time, chomping round a rind of greasy bacon.
Noisy.
Clumped, clumped, clamped, sausage rolls squatting under her feet, a grampus of pandemonium. Noise, noise, digestive clamorings. She devoured the very air I breathe.
Each day became another layer of contentment. Like chocolate cake. Silence. Close the curtains. Muzzle the garden. Sink quietly like a stone. Quietus, quietus. Pax vobiscum. Coffined in bliss.
What's that? Concord. Her flight bisects my chimney pot.
I waited. Waited. Then, after 1 week, I brought out the animals from the shed where they'd been hidden. For so long, cobwebbed and musty, they were. Mr. Joyce had cockroaches living in his beak.
I hate cockroaches.
The Egyptians love them. Mr. Marchbanks, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but have you by any chance murdered your wife?
Good gracious, no.
I just thought I'd ask as a matter of course.
Oh, absolutely.
A policeman's work is never done. Do you mind if I take a wee gander upstairs, sir? Check your wife's bedroom. Might be some indications of where she's gone.
Of course, of course.
Just a wee poke about, sir.
Yes, good idea, John. I'll keep Mr. Marchbanks company and you go and have a snuffle. Keeps him happy.
Aye, right.
Don't forget your notebook, John, in case you come upon a clue.
Oh, aye. Aye, right, right.
Can't remember a thing unless he writes it down. Memory like a sieve, except for racial prejudice, that is.
Ah, well, that's in with the bricks. So, I'll just away upstairs, then.
Right, John.
Now, what were we talking about?
Your colleague was asking me if I'd murdered my wife.
Did he really? Oh, dear. And what was it you said?
I said I didn't. Hadn't.
Hadn't what?
murdered my wife.
I see. Well, that's that settled then, isn't it? They grow on you, these animals, don't they?
Yes. I like them. They're my friends.
I can see that. I had an unfortunate experience with a stuffed animal when I was a child.
Did you?
Yes. But I'm getting over it.
Good.
It was a weasel.
A carnivore.
Yeah, it would have made short work of your Jean-Paul.
A dead duck. But not Brunhilde or Thomas Becket.
No, the bear and the alligator would have lain down together as far as a weasel was concerned.
I don't know about Mr. Joyce. The heron's a long way up.
Oh, I think he would have seen it off. He did most people.
Mind if I smoke?
No, not at all. Ashtray. Do you know Joyce's work?
Yeah. Two of the biggest villains I ever nicked were great James Joyce fans.
Were they?
Yeah. One of them, Sorry Michael. He was school. Maltese. Carried a submachine gun. He could quote chunks of everything. Named his Doberman after Molly Bloom. Molly the Doberman.
Really?
Yeah. Took a lump out of my leg in a nightclub once, Molly did. Michael persuaded me to take a swing at him, see what her reaction would be. I was drunk at the time. Said she would just growl. Took six of the lads to get her off me. Luckily, the alcohol had worked its way down into my calves. Local anaesthetic. Michael was rolling about on the floor laughing and saying, Solly, Solly, he said that to everybody.
We nicked him eventually. Row over a porno patch in Paddington.
Oh, dear.
Michael was walking up and down, shooting the lights out of everything. He was sweet enough. Handed over to Tom, he said, "Sorry, Gladon, sorry." Don't know what happened to Molly. She wasn't there. But he loved his Joyce.
Glam?
Graham Parnell Smith, Irish mother. Lived and died on spots. And on the 8th day, sir.
Pardon?
After 1 week, I brought out the animals. 7 days. What happened on the 8th?
Cleansed. I cleansed. Top to bottom. The house. Scrubbed. De-scummed the bathroom. De-greased the kitchen. Scraped the pilchard bones off the upstairs carpet. Purged the ashtrays. Banished the scrofulous leavings of Madame Nicotine. Lifted the tide marks of careless teacups. Cleansed. Cleansed. Till it shone. Shone. Like a silver ship. The lounge is last. Form is finished.
Did you like your wife, sir?
Does anyone? Do you?
What?
Like your wife?
How do you know I was married?
One can tell. Do you?
I don't see what that's got to do with this case.
It has everything to do with this case.
Well, there's nothing of interest up there. No, your wife's room singularly lacking in interest, Mr. Marchbanks. Except for a number of empty baked bean tins under the bed.
Yes, I couldn't bear to touch them. A sloven, Margot. Clean and tidy to the outside world, but a sloven within her own four walls.
Is that right? Oh, I found a wee brochure for your holiday cottage. The Dardanelles.
Lives up to its name.
Do you mind if I keep it?
Oh, not at all.
I like Cornwall. Reminds me of the Gorbals.
I hate it. I hate the rocks, ozone, emptiness, sea, and seals.
Seals, Mr. Marchbanks?
Seals. Margot has a fetish for seals. Used to drag me to the zoo. Raw fish sliding down their gullets. We always had a holiday by the sea, so Margot could stand on the cliffs and watch out for seals.
Something sexual there, surely. I had a wee peek in all the rooms, clean as a whistle. I couldn't penetrate that one at the end of the corridor, however. Locked up like the tomb.
Well, that's the bear pit. My workshop, sacrosanct.
Where you do your stuffing?
Yes.
I don't suppose.
No.
Didn't he think so? Well?
Well, Mr. Marchbanks, better be on our way.
Who knows to do?
I'm sure.
I assume you'd like us to file a missing persons on your wife.
I suppose so.
We'll do that, won't we, John?
Oh, definitely.
Mere formality.
Definitely. And thank you for the cup that cheers, Mr. Marchbanks.
My pleasure.
Oh, by the way, sir.
Yes?
I happened to look out into your back garden.
Yes?
Laid a lawn very nicely.
Thank you.
Some lovely heather in the borders.
And it grows.
Sweet as the heather, the bonny blooming heather. Mary, my Scotch bluebell.
Oh, it's an old favourite. Oh, off we go into the wide blue yonder.
Yes.
Oh, what? I know what I was going to say, sir.
Yeah.
Shut up. Memory like a hen. I was going to say that when I looked out...
Over the back garden?
That's right. You've been doing some digging, sir.
Have I?
At the back, beside the woodshed, fresh.
I see.
Oh, yes. You can tell. You see, the earth's been turned over. Different colour. Dark. Like blood.
That's funny.
Is it?
Mr. Marchbanks doesn't like gardening, he told us.
So he did. You're right. It is funny. Fresh.
I'm sure there's an explanation.
I'm sure there is. Is there, Mr. Marchbanks?
An explanation, Mr. Marchbanks.
What?
You have been digging, have you not?
Yes.
Digging for victory?
No.
Burying something?
No.
Some old grudge, perhaps?
No.
You can tell us.
We must be offended.
Take sides.
You can confess to us, sir.
You can, sir. What did you bury, sir?
What?
Stop. Please. Stop. I'll tell you. Only, please don't shout.
That's all right, sir. Take your time. No hurry.
Oh, it was so shameful.
What,
sir? Oh, dear. Irises. It's so childish.
A wee bit of elaboration, sir, on that.
Margot's irises. I hated them.
Colour of her eyes. Defunct retinas.
They came up every summer like rows of dead soldiers. Irises, irises, dank and clammy, like a kiss from the grave. Her favourites.
Favourite what?
I dug up the bulbs, the tubers. It's so childish. Such an ugly flower. Spiteful, purple tongue. So childish. But she took all my friends down to the dump, my whole collection. Last Christmas, silly stuffed animals, she called them. So I dug up all her irises. I thought, if I do that, she won't come back. All my troubles will be over.
She won't come back, all right, and we know the reason why.
Easy, John.
Were you afraid, George?
Hmm?
That she would return from the grave?
No.
I think you were, George.
No.
I'd like to believe you, George. But you see how it is. Vanished wife, mound of fresh earth. You see how it looks, George?
Yes.
Are you a Catholic, George?
God knows.
I am.
Devout.
I understand the weight of sin, George, the heavy burden of guilt.
And I understand the blessed release of the confession.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yes.
Have you sinned, George? Have you? Shall we walk together to the bottom of the garden with our spades and resurrect Mrs. M. in the true spirit of Easter in Isola? Shall we, George?
Yes. No. I dug bulbs. Only bulbs. Nothing. No digging. No,
Are you refusing to help us in our inquiries? Read that mound, sir.
Yes.
Refusing us your permission to resurrect, sir.
Yes.
Then we'll just have to get somebody else's permission, won't we, sir?
Yes. No. Leave it alone. All sorts of things. Leave it alone.
We'll be back, Mr. Marchbanks. Sooner rather than later, I think. Come on, John.
What did you do with the bulbs? The iris bulb.
Fed them to the gabardine swine.
They ate pearls, no bulbs.
But your wife didn't wear pearls.
Did she? Marchbanks.
Photograph, sir. Identification.
Draw over there.
Oh. Sir, this is Mrs. Marchbanks, is it?
Yes.
Strange get-up she has on, sir.
Costume. Yes. When she used to be a druid.
A druid. I see. Goodbye, Mr. Marchbanks.
Hasta la vista.
We'll be in touch.
Very shortly.
Please, see yourselves out.
You've been a bad boy, Mr. M.
You've told fibs.
We can tell.
I've done it! Done it! Off they go on the scent of the bloodhounds. Now, don't sniff, Mr. Joyce. I know your creations have more finesse, but this is live, on the air. Yes, they'll be back thousandfold, searching the soil for the evil therein. Till then. Shall I recite another instalment of my spine-chilling tale of murder most foul? No, you disapprove, Thomas. You think I ought to tell truth and shame the devil. But who would believe the truth of this matter? Even for Jean-Paul, it's too existential. Three of you are mute, but not with tacit approval. Only my beloved Brunhilde extends her arms to hug me in my isolation. Ah, but my three disciples, James, John, and Doubting Thomas, do I sense a desire to listen? Yes. I am not to be kept in the doghouse. Hallelujah. Ready? Very well. I shall recommence the tale. Two people on a clifftop seen from afar, she shading her eyes, he thinking one push, one little push, and his troubles will be over. Now, a pulse just above his upper lip fluttered like a butterfly. His heart hammered in the cage of his ribs, and a tiny bead of sweat gathered at the base of his thumb. George, for that was his name, glanced down at his wife's feet. They were dug obstinately into the limestone. Thought George. If he was to say goodbye to Margot, it would have to be a big push. A very, very big push.
Sir?
Sir, we've unearthed something!
What is it?
It's white!
Any traces of mold?
Not noticeably. Oh, it's got some kind of slime on it. Might be a human bone, sir.
He can't have decomposed that fast.
What if he burnt her? Incineration, sir.
Then there wouldn't be any slime, would there? Hold on. I'm coming down.
We really need a nail file and a paintbrush for moments like this.
I read it in the manual.
Let's have a look. Where is it?
Here. Sticking out of the air. Might be a skull.
Where's the eyes on it?
Could be a back view.
Give us over that hose.
Nice of him to loan us his garden implements. Don't often get cooperation like that.
Well, we need them, didn't we? Enough bloody ground to cover.
Careful, sir. He'll destroy the remnants.
What's your name, lad?
Police Cadet Barraclough, sir.
From whence do you come?
Bootle, sir.
Tell me something. Allowing for the fact that living in the semi-darkness of the cave dwellings up there might have affected your eyesight. What does this look like? Does it look like a skull? Does it look like remnants?
Now that I can see it, I can see what it is.
And what is it?
It's a vase, bone-coloured.
Present from Blackpool.
Pardon?
If you examine the bottom, you'll see the stamp.
Oh, yeah.
Buried there about a year ago.
Sir? What?
The top, sir. On the other side from the bottom. It's sealed, sir. Sealed.
I can see that. This vase is sealed, Mr. Marchbanks. Why is that?
Seals, seals. Margot stood by the sea and watched for the seals.
What's inside it, sir?
Tripe.
Tripe?
Yes. One of Margot's few culinary endeavours. The vet recommended it. For her cat, Miffy. It was ill. The vet postulated that tripe might mitigate its stomach upset.
What happened?
The smell was disgusting. Must have been a bad batch.
No. Tripe always smells like that.
Shut up, Barraclough. Go away.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, the cat wouldn't touch it. Margot retired in a temper. And I was left with a pot full of smelly trash.
So you buried it.
Poured it into this hideous vase. And in the dead of night, with the owls hooting in approval, I sealed it with taxidermal mastic. And yes, I dug a hole.
Buried it. You do a lot of digging in the dead of night, don't you, Mr. Marchbanks?
Do I?
Yes. Last night, before we arrived, this morning, with a search warrant, you snuck out and dug mounds of earth
all over this garden. Displacement activity. Couldn't sleep.
So now we're committed to a complete excavation.
Get back to work, you lot. We're looking for an ex-druid dead wife in a mauve Czech twin set. Get on with it.
So far, Mr. Marchbanks, we have found bulbs, flower and electric, tubers, tree roots, slug pellets, and a vase of tripe. But nearly a sign, smidgen, or trace of a decent bit of flesh and blood.
Must be disappointing.
Shattering. It occurs to me that you have used us, Mr. Marchbanks.
Have I?
Yes. I am willing to bet that we will find sod all in this garden, but a byproduct of our endeavours is that we have almost completely destroyed the horticultural handiwork of your missing wife.
Almost completely. I shall lay it all to concrete when you finish.
I'm beginning to get your number, Mr. Marchbanks.
Yes? If you grasp the vase tightly, such as you're doing now, The glutinous stuff seeping through the fissures inside and all over your fingers may be the aforesaid one-year-old trice.
Oh, my God. Barraclough!
Yes, sir?
Take this. Put it in a corner somewhere and don't, for God's sake, drop it.
Right-o, sir.
Oh, Mr. Barraclough, when you're digging at the side there, you may come across a body.
Oh? Oh, yes.
Yes. Miffy. Poor fellow. He didn't last long. I popped him under the red entrance.
Miffy? Who's Miffy?
Just put the bloody bars down over there, Barraclough, then go and help the lads.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
You think you're very clever, don't you, Mr. Marchbanks? But let me tell you something.
Yeah, what is it? Oh, have we indeed?
Come along, Mr. Marchbanks. Let's see what other tricks you can get up to.
Driver, where are you?
Over here.
Oh, there.
Yes, here.
The bear pit?
Correct. We've scoured the place from top to bottom. Your drains are in a terrible state. We had to unblock the lot of them. No fragments of cadavers met with our gaze, so that just leaves us with this one room.
The bear pit.
My workshop.
The last port of call. Unfortunately, it appears to be padlocked, hence the snag. Key, please.
Lost it.
Mr. Marchbanks, in the boot of our car is a fireman's axe. This is a wooden door.
Found it. The key.
Well, well.
Excuse me.
After you, Mr. Marchbanks.
There's no windows, I'm afraid.
Ergo, no observation of dark and fell deeds, eh?
What's this? Bird of prey?
A raven, actually. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Edgar Allan Poe, you know. It's work in progress. I thought it might make a good companion for Mr. Joyce.
Yes, Brother Joyce might well need a companion after you've gone.
There's a deal of sharp implements over here. Useful for cutting things up.
Now, please be careful, they're very delicate.
Uh-huh.
I'm a bit of a boffin, you see. What I would like to do is combine taxidermy with electronics. For instance, wouldn't it be charming if Brunhilde the Bear could incline forward and extend a hand of greeting, preferably with a cup of tea?
That would go down a treat.
These nail clippings over here, sir?
No. They're necessary adjuncts for keeping the bird's wings in place.
Nice, comfy armchair.
Yes, yes, isn't it? Look exactly like nail clippings.
No, they're man-made.
Or even woman-made, eh? You know, it's amazing what you can find down the back of old armchairs.
Is it?
Edgar Allan Poe. Didn't he do away with his wife?
No.
And even down the sides of old armchairs. Ow!
What?
Someone just bit me!
Oh, don't be stupid, John.
Look at the marks!
Oh, yeah. Tooth marks.
Well, go on, then.
What?
Find out what it is. So, fears, once bitten, twice shy. You're the senior in rank. You do it. I'm only a humble constable.
God almighty, get out of the way. No wonder you Scots lost all the bloody battles.
A barrack button?
False teeth.
Eh?
These are false teeth that bit you, John. False teeth. But the question is, whose?
False teeth at breakfast time, chomping round a rind of greasy fish.
These were your words, sir, your very words. You've gone very quiet, Mr. Marchbanks.
Have I?
Your wife Margot had false teeth?
Yes.
Are these they?
I don't know.
Because if they are, Mr. Marchbanks...
I don't know anything about it.
They always make the one fatal error, don't they?
Wife's dentist, please, sir.
Norton, London Road.
I go to him myself, an obliging sort of fellow. I'm sure he won't mind checking through his dental records, will he, sir?
I suppose not.
These look new. Newish, as if they'd just been wrenched from someone's gums.
Ooh.
Well, no sense hanging around, John.
Aye, and a bag.
Don't make any sudden movements, Mr. Marchbanks.
No.
An eye for an eye.
And a tooth for a tooth.
Old Testament.
The law, Mr. Marchbanks, the law.
I've got him.
Maybe tell the lads.
All right, right, gentlemen. Cease operations. We have other fish to fry.
Just about finished anyway, sir.
Oh, I can see that. Like a paddy field. Find any more relics?
No. Just the vase of tripe, sir, and the cat carcass.
Don't mock the afflicted, John. Anything further to report back?
We've broken all the garden implements, sir.
He won't need them.
Know where he's going.
But shouldn't we offer compensation? I read it in the manual. Inadvertent destruction in the course of...
Just collect them up, Barakov, and chuck them in a corner.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. Collection of implements proceeding at once, sir.
That boy's a bad boy.
Yeah, he'll fit in well, won't he?
Compensation for Marchbanks, eh? Tell it to the screws at once, man.
Don't be too sure, John.
I've got him for the hardies. These teeth nestling in my top pocket are the key to the case. Headline. Constable puts finger on vital clue.
Headline. Jock cop and the toothless cop.
Headline. MacIver bites your bum.
I wish it could be that easy, John. But my policeman's nose tells me these teeth are not the ultimate solution.
Nonsense. Promotion awaits me in the horizon. I can see its bony hand beckoning in the distance.
It's been a long time coming.
Aye. I never lost faith. I always knew there was a way to combine honesty and success.
Difficult in the police force, John. But I admire your perseverance.
I've collected the implements, sir.
Right then, throw them over there and let's be on our way.
Yes, sir.
No!
What's wrong?
Oh, my God, it smells like purgatory.
No, 1 year old drive. All right, lads, it's every man so any exit capacity.
Barakoff. Yes, sir.
You wait till last.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Interesting how speedily a man of Sergeant Smith's bulk can scale a 15-foot wall. Standing on Cadet Barraclough's head helps, I suppose. And see the wiry MacIver wriggling his way through the thorn bush into next door, where the Scots are famed for engineering openings. And the rest of the chaps have done equally well. Evacuated the guard in pox 20 seconds, the Dunkirk spirit. You know, just as well the house is smell as well as soundproof. Ah, well, my friends, my stuffy companions, that exchange might well be entitled False in Tooth and Trail. Oh, surely, surely, a triumph of ingenuity is at hand. I shall calm myself by nestling close to Brunhilde. From the comfort of her musky bosom, tell the oft-repeated tale. George stretched his hand out towards Margot, fingers splayed in anticipation, the tips of them brushing lightly against the hairy tendrils of her mauve-checked, sweaty back. Out at sea, seals danced in the waves, and the water made little sucking noises as it swept in amongst the jagged rocks below. Yes, thought George, this is the moment. Five fingers, 10 fingers, palms, wrists, elbows, straighten. An empty space where Margot used to be. And I shall never know the smell of fear again.
Strolling in the park one day, in the merry, merry month of May. Morning, Mrs. Roberts. Lovely morning for hanging out the smalls, eh?
No sense of humour, the Welsh. Ah, the tripe fumes have dispersed. Well done, the tripe.
I was taken by surprise.
Morning, sir. A bonny morning.
One of these mornings when one wants to get up and give one's handcuffs a jolly good clean.
But what? How did...
Oh, we just popped in, sir. How we popped in is our little secret.
Smell seems to have cleared up outside.
Yes, gone to earth.
Must be painful, these scratches on your face.
Aye, it was a sharp wee hedge right enough, but I like the odour of germany.
Oh, by the way, sir, that was a very clever trick you pulled with the teeth.
Yes, your wife's dentist didn't recognise them.
But the forensic boys did.
Oh, they laughed our socks off.
Replica teeth from a baboon, they said.
With the incisors filed down to make them appear human.
What a giggle, they said.
Oh, we do look a pair of fools.
We said.
Ah, I remember now. I did try to stuff a baboon once. The teeth must have
disengaged themselves and found their way into the crevices of the armchair where they fastened onto my finger.
Causing us to mistake them for your wife's molars.
Aye, we were laughed out of a lab. Monkey MacIver, they're calling me now.
John wanted to come over and squash a grapefruit in your face.
Without even cutting it in half.
But I didn't.
Dissuaded him, because somewhere at the back of my mind, I had expected this. I am beginning to unravel your thought process, Mr. Marchbanks. I am beginning to see your strategy.
Really?
Yes, really. Distraction. Keep us chasing shadows till we weary of the chase, but I know you murdered your wife.
No.
And I know you've done something very clever with the body, but I also know that we're going to find it, and when we do,
we will nail you
like the crucified Jesus.
The name Rattigan mean anything to you, sir?
No.
Three doors down, opposite side of the street.
Oh, the window cleaner.
Yes.
Well, we just interviewed his daughter.
Our dad's just finishing a 2-week stretch in Mallorca, she says. Comes back this evening.
And he casually mentioned to her just before he left,
on a dark night,
as he returned from work, that he saw you struggling with a large mauve object.
Human shape.
In fact, a woman. From your car to your front door. Her feet were dragging,
he said to his daughter.
They thought no more about it, G&T office party. But she's thought about it now. And so will he when we meet him at Heathrow tonight. And with his eyewitness statement, we will be able to, at last, bring you in.
To the station.
Where we will sweat you.
Like an old piece of ratatouille.
Oh, no. You were seen.
Pulling it out of the car.
Dead body heavy in your arms.
Feet dragging.
Flesh clammy.
Eyes popped.
Teeth foamy in place.
Sweat running down your back.
You maneuvered the corpse.
Through the door.
Into the hall.
Through the hall into the...
Where? What did you do with her?
Put her in the Mensa.
Flush her down the toilet.
What did you do with her?
Please, please, no more.
No more? This is just a wee aperitif. You wait till we get onto the main course down at the station.
You see, Mr. Marchbanks, John here is a rare creature, an honest policeman. But he tends to be a bit peremptory with people he considers to be dishonest. Murder suspects especially.
The half moons in your fingernails will scream the name MacIver till the end of your days.
Oh, I feel faint.
Glass of water, sir.
Oh, please. In the kitchen.
Right away, sir.
There was a work colonial boy, Jack Duggan was.
Oh, he's a real card, Sergeant. A real card. Right. What a lethal duo. Between us, we'll grind you. We'll grind you like a peppercorn.
There you are, sir.
Thank you.
That's a strange thing.
What?
In the kitchen, I thought, I'll get Mr. Marchbanks and ask you through his fevered brow. Then I noticed there's no fridge.
Damnation, you're right. I thought there was something funny about that kitchen. I missed it in the search.
No wonder you missed it, John. It wasn't there. Where is it, Mr. Marchbanks?
Oh, broke down last week. Still under guarantee from the electricity board. Practically new. I got them to come and take it away.
Where to?
High Street branch.
Name of the removal operative?
Neville, he said. Neville something.
Neville, the van man. Well, we'll check it up.
In case your missus is all sliced up in the ice compartment. We'd better make tracks.
Aye.
Referring a football match this afternoon. Police 11 be the printers. Should be fun.
I'm running the line with my hanky, mopping up the blood.
I wanted to surprise you this evening after we spoke to Mr. Rattigan, but John couldn't bear the thought that you might possibly have a reasonably pleasant Palm Sunday. He took the episode with the false teeth very much to heart, I'm afraid.
Aye. Monkey MacIver never forgets. Or is that elephants?
Viva España, Mr. Marchbanks, as they say in Mallorca.
Oh, the station walls, if they could talk. What a tale they would tell.
Oh, but wait. Wait! Oh, calamity. Calamity, my friends. The game has turned, the squeeze is on. My fate rests upon the observational powers of a window cleaner. Oh, how to pass the time, waiting for the knock on the door. Story? Well, the story's almost over. As George stretched out his hand towards his wife's unsuspecting back, he lifted his eyes to heaven, and lo, a bright light shone from on high, illuminating his murderous, guilty thoughts. He sank, blinded, to his knees, and waited for the chop.
Don't believe it! You brat! MacIver, sheer bad luck.
You 14-carat Celtic brat.
That was within my rights.
Saturday lunchtime. You've got all the Pakistani learned drivers to hassle.
No. I had a bad morning at Tesco's.
So, pushing your trolley down the pavement towards your parked car, you decided to book a law-abiding citizen.
His ladder was causing an obstruction.
Ask him to move it.
Too busy with his squeegee.
Around it.
Heavy traffic.
And anything.
It's bad luck.
Now, we're back where we started. So, how comes you know, and it goes the name. Terry Rattigan, window cleaner, booked under a little-known bylaw.
I've been boning up in bylaws.
Here, mudwump.
It was months ago. I'd forgotten.
But he hadn't, had he? Because his case comes up in 3 weeks' time.
There we are at the Heathrow.
With a daughter. Here's my dad. There he is, bloodshot eyes, lobster red, pickled in Rioja for 2 weeks, a perfect witness.
Until he caught sight of your ugly mug. And what did he say?
Go back to Loch Ness, I'm telling you nothing.
And by the time he gets through the daughter, she'll be telling us nothing either.
Be easier getting something out of the bloody masons. By the way, how are things down at the lodge this weather?
Oh, leave it.
How are the old handshakes and the trouser roll and getting on?
Now, that's no fair. Now, we agreed. I don't mention the Pope.
You just did.
And you don't mention the mason. No fair.
You're right, John. Sorry. Teresa wants a divorce.
Is she not too devout for that?
She's found a religious bylaw. She gets the house, the kids and the car.
What do you get?
I get the Marchbanks case.
It gets to you, that wee man, doesn't it?
Maybe.
I've never seen you so involved.
I have my reasons.
So had Valerie. My ex. Ah, miss her. She used to do the shopping every Saturday morning at Tesco.
Oh,
Sergeant Smith. I didn't know this was your local. And if I join yet. Oh, just to say, Mr. MacIver, totally agreed with the sending off. Violent rock printers, aren't they?
Headline, Jock Cop Books Window Cleaner.
Oh.
Eh?
Anyway, I thought my save from the 25-yarder turned the game. And your penalty decision was spot on. I was playing the Space Invaders, but I had to leave the machine that the little man kept walking off the edge.
I know how you feel.
Hey?
I said I know how he feels. Now, will you shut up your stupid prattling, Barraclough? John, another?
Aye, make it a double.
I'm all right, thanks. He's a bit upset, Sergeant Smith, isn't he?
Aye. A key witness has just slipped through our hands.
Goalkeeper's fear of the penalty kick, eh?
doors.
What?
Here you are, John. Happy days.
Get a sock in it!
Loss of a key witness. There's a section about that in the manual.
What did he say?
Oh, I'm known this universe. Beamed out.
Circumvention of the loss of a key witness, or entrapment through the complicit becoming explicit. American drug squads use it a lot. Works very well in hot countries.
I'm not sure Hounslow applies.
Yes, but it's a hot house atmosphere, that fella's place, isn't it? Stuffed animals, thick curtains, no air. Perfect breeding ground for entrapment.
It's like the Chinese water torture, isn't it? Go ahead, Barraclough.
Well, according to the manual, the complicit is what's hidden underneath a case. The explicit is the opposite. What you have to do is make the complicit explicit, and that leads to the entrapment.
How do you make the complicit explicit?
Empathy. You find something in your personal complicit which relates to the suspect, coax him to go explicit, then you hit him with the entrapment.
What is the entrapment?
Well, if you take the fancy name away, it's just a double cross.
Oh, so I have to find personal complicit, do I?
Oh, yeah, you're not taking this seriously, are you?
Well, indeed I am, John. If we don't crack this, we go back on the rota, and do you know what we're down for? Grand tour of the public lavatories.
Oh, no, yes, but the pervert.
I can go complicit, all right, and you...
No, no, I'm not telling any lies.
You don't have to, you can be the... instrument of entrapment.
This boy's a vampire.
Yeah.
Maybe. But he's just given me a very good idea. What does this manual of yours say about electrical eavesdrops?
Bugging. I'd have to look it up.
I'm looking in my glass, John. And what do you think I see?
Kidney problems?
Retribution. That's what I see looking back at me. Retribution.
My bow, I am gold. Bring me my arrows on. Bring me my spear. All clouds unfold.
Come in, gentlemen.
Who's afraid of the big battle? The big battle? The big battle? Who's afraid of the big battle?
Not me!
Not me!
Not me.
As it does, it does. Make yourself as home. Don't be careful.
Almost sat on Jean Paul, didn't I? There you go, Ducky.
Constable McAdam, you take the comfortable chair.
Ah, thank you.
I had no idea football was such a dangerous game.
Oh, aye, especially for the ref.
And this sweeper, he cracked your ribs.
Oh, yes, just because John showed him the red card, got him in a bear.
Not in front of Bruno, but...
More than you can bear, eh?
It's a very bulky dressing they put on it.
Oh, the lads at the station don't get a lot of first aid practice.
The station, the station. You thought you'd get me to the station.
Aye, well, we made a wee mistake, I've been on.
I think it's extremely noble of you to come around and admit that you were wrong.
Least we could do.
And then to take me out for a drink at a pub. I never go to pubs, never drink. I may take it up as a hobby.
I don't recommend it.
John had a few too many last night.
Hey! Mr. Joyce has a new companion.
Yes, yes. Edgar the Raven. A raven on the heron's shoulder. Nice touch, eh? I finished him off last night when I was
waiting for the knock at the door.
And when it came, it was the all clear.
Investigation over.
Absolutely. Nobody, no witness, and we've been put on to another case.
Here, let's have a beer to celebrate.
Good idea. Tell you what, why don't you get us a couple of glasses, a bit of civilized living?
Another good idea. Constable?
Nothing for me, thank you.
Are you sure?
Of course he is. Off you go, George.
Righto. Into the kitchen, with one bow.
What's the matter with you?
I'm no telling fibs.
You don't have to. I'll tell them. And don't fidget, you're a delicate mechanism.
How is it?
It's killing me. It's digging into my ribs.
You better check in case the trip from that pub's done it.
Oh, wait a minute.
My God, you don't half make a racket.
Pre-war. Probably an MI5 reject. Button your jacket.
Bloody damn bandages.
Stop moaning. And remember, I am complicit. You are the entrapment. Right.
Right.
George, hello.
Came over a bit funny.
You crept up on us, you old putty boy.
No, it's the alcohol crept up on me.
Come on, hair of the dog.
Yes, why not?
He's afraid of the big bad boss. The big bad boss. All right, George.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, may I propose a toast? Here's to your missing wife, George, wherever she might be, and may God forgive her for the trouble she has caused us all.
Yes, Margot. Where has she been?
Hey, look at it. The spirit of Easter Monday, eh, John? Know what you remind me of, sitting there like that?
What?
The Black Magic Knight.
Oh, don't bring that up.
Black Magic?
Oh, yeah, at the station one night, we'd nick this bloke for knocking off books from the British Museum. All on Black Magic. He'd pinched about 200 of them, and they hadn't even bloody noticed. I think he might have been a Mason.
Yeah, give over.
Anyway, we chucked him in the cells, ranting and raving about the apocalypse, and there we were with all those Black Magic books piled up all round the station. So, about 1 a.m, we're bored stiff, and we find this bottle of Jameson's in a locker. So we scoff that, and then we decide, John and I, that we are going to raise the devil.
The devil?
Old Nick himself.
Yeah, why not? Anything to break the monotony, so?
There was John, sitting in the middle of the floor, with a chalk circle drawn round him.
I was the drunkard of the two.
While I wandered round the outside with these books, shouting out all the magic names supposed to entice Beelzebub up from the pits of hell. It was a laugh at first.
Then the lights dimmed. A smell of sulphur. Yellow eyes gleaming in the dark.
Did you raise the devil?
Who do you think's running the country at the moment?
Boom. Boom.
Hey, I'll tell you one funny thing, though. John could not move out of that circle.
Not until he'd rubbed part of it out. As if I'd lost the power on my limbs.
Could have been a Jameson.
No. It was more than that.
I believe you. It's not a thing to play around with, magic, black or white. The druids are great believers in magic.
Are they now? How did your missus get to be a druid, George?
She was born one. Her father was a chief druid, Cornish extraction. I met her on Salisbury Plain, summer solstice. I was wandering about near Stonehenge, and I saw this bunch of druids having a sun ceremony on the little hillock in their white robes. Now, as I came up to them, the sun actually broke through the clouds. A single ray shot down like a laser, and it illuminated the face of a young girl at the front. Her whole being was vibrant, eyes flashing, carnal with the sheer lust of life. What happened? I married her, old boy.
And?
I never saw that face again.
25 years, I watched, waited, but nothing. No joy, no lust. Just a normal, undemonstrative, fairly placid housewife. Perhaps it'd been the trick of the light, but no, no. That look on her face, it was everything I'd ever wanted. Anyway, we rubbed along, 25 years, no children. I took up taxidermy. Margot took to gardening. Hardly ever talked. Rubbing along.
Sounds like a good arrangement.
Shh! Then, last autumn, everything changed. Margot became carnivorous, omnivorous. The house stank of bacon, chops, mutton, jellied eels. Became obsessed with jellied eels. Started talking to herself, muttering, carping, criticizing, nagging. The silence was broken. She grew gross. Her lower lip stuck out. She'd rub her finger along it and mumble druid incantations.
Menopause.
Hmm?
Sounds like the menopause hits the women pretty hard, George.
Does it? Yeah, I suppose it does.
Who put the men in menopause, eh?
Shut up, John. So, what was the next event, George, after the silence was broken?
Last Christmas. Came home from work. All my friends were all gone. She took them down to the dump. Smelly old stuffed animals, she said. I couldn't find them. Tons of garbage down there. 25 years of work and affection destroyed. The alligator, the duck, the heron, and the bear were all that remained. When I returned, empty-handed, she laughed at me. I stood alone in the middle of this room, and I felt as if the heart had been torn out of my body.
Have another beer, George.
Then it was seals. Nothing but seals. Talked about them day and night. Dragged me to zoos, aquariums, nature films. Went on about their oily skins, how they slithered on their bellies. Wanted oil skin sheets for her bed.
We had a problem there, definitely.
All that joy, lust, I had failed to extricate, and it had turned into an obsession with a marine amphibious mammal. Day after day, I thought I'd go mad. And then came the miracle of salvation. In Cornwall, of all places.
What happened, George?
I can't tell you. It defies belief.
I believe. I'm ready to believe. Try me.
We were standing on the cliff. I between her and the wind. She between me and the sea. Shading her eyes. Seals spotting. On the edge. One push. Problem over. Stretched out my hand. What's that noise?
Oh, a pacemaker somewhere.
You were saying, George. Stretched out your hand.
Towards her back. Fingers splayed, one push, ready or not. Then, as wrists, elbows locked, began to straighten, I looked up. The sun broke through the clouds. A shaft of blinding light shone into my eyes. I staggered back. My murderous thoughts of espousing extermination revealed to me in all their gory detail. I fell on my knees. A feeling of hideous guilt swept over me. And I knelt there and bowed my head, as if for the executioner's axe.
And then?
And then came the miracle which saved us both.
Both?
Eyes tightly shut, head bowed, waiting for the chop. And then I heard a noise.
A pacemaker.
From the sea it came. Booming, like a foghorn. Booming, nearer, louder. Breaking over the cliffs like a wave. Harsh, coughing, lusting sound. And when I looked up, Margot had gone.
Gone? Gone where?
Vanished. Disparu. Where? I went to the edge and looked over. And there she was. Scrambling down a narrow path, throwing her clothes off as she went, naked, running towards the sea, and coming towards her, out of the waves, calling for her, like a lover, was a giant bull seal. His skin was sleek, oily, glistening in the sun. She called to him in his own tongue. They met at the water's edge. Her body was plump, quivering, as she leant across to him. They touched muzzles, rubbed up against each other, gently, for a moment. Then he turned slowly. She put her arms around his neck, lay upon his back, and he began swimming out again to sea. I watched them for a long time, until they became two dots, white and grey, in the distance. And then they vanished beneath the waves.
Are you telling me that your wife ran away with a seal?
I knew it.
Beneath the waves.
Now look you, women run away with a lot of things. My Valerie ran away with a computer salesman, but nobody runs away with a seal.
Well, there is, I believe, a Scottish folk song to that effect, where a woman marries a seal. The Great Silky, I think it's called.
Silky be damned! You've been telling me a load of terminologicals. You're a wee lying murder suspect number one, and I'm going to throttle the truth out of you! Get on! That's enough!
Leave it! Leave it alone! Now, remove your hands from Mr. Marchbank's throat. There's a good lad.
Oh.
Right. Now, come over here. I could have told you this, John, because I know this man's mine. I am complicit with him. Do you understand? Now, I want you to go to the kitchen, pull yourself together, wipe yourself clean, and when you return, I want you to be able to register every word that is said to you. All right.
Now, off you go. That's a good boy.
Close one, George.
Well, he did seem rather upset.
Here, there's two cans left. One for you, one for me.
Thank you. What did you mean when you said you knew my mind?
Oh, you heard. Well, I said it before, haven't I? Not exactly, no, but the feelings, I feel the same.
How?
Desperation, loneliness, disappointed dreams. I know how you felt when you stood on that cliff.
But I didn't.
I don't actually care. I've got beyond that. All I know is that when you're describing your past situation, it totally corresponded to my present.
Oh.
Yes. The wife and I are tearing each other to pieces. I lie awake at night thinking, maybe if I threw myself out of the window, that would solve everything. Then I think, maybe if I threw her out of the window, that would solve everything even better.
Ah.
So, we correspond, eh? I don't know. Perhaps Teresa will run off with a camel.
I knew no one would believe me if I told the
truth. Oh, I believe you.
Do you?
Hmm?
Do you really?
Stranger things have happened.
Yes. Wonder if she'll become a mermaid, Margot.
God knows. George.
Hmm?
I would be obliged if at some future time you might find your way towards regarding me as a possible friend.
Well, forget the future. There's no time like the present.
Shake on it?
The shake. Well,
what do you know? So, that's us settled. What are we going to do about John?
Hmm?
You see, George, he's never really got on in the force, even though he is a Mason. Keeps tripping over his own veracity. Ah, he really wanted to solve this one. Gone to absurd lengths. Even tracked down your electricity man.
Neville?
Yeah, Easter weekend or not, tracked him down. Of course, the fella confirmed that your fridge was empty on arrival.
So that was John. Back to square one. The only thing he could say was, why hadn't he told him Neville was a hunchback? It never struck me. Would have narrowed the field somewhat. Absurd lengths. But now John is going to have to bite the bullet, and I'm seriously worried about his mental state.
Oh, dear.
It's not so much the headlines, the promotion that's eating him up. Even if he knew personally...
Oh, well, never mind. What?
Well, I mean... If he knew in himself that he'd solved the case...
I don't follow.
All right, scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I leave the room, he comes in, you say to him, Constable McIver, you were right all along, I confess, I murdered my wife.
Oh, but
I... safe as houses, no notebook, no records, safe as houses. But he would have the satisfaction of knowing that he had solved the case.
It would keep his equilibrium viable.
I know it.
But are you sure?
Of course! You can't prosecute an unrecorded casual conversation. It's against the law.
Anyway, it's all hypothetical. But between him and Teresa, my life's going to be a misery for a long time to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps I could do it.
What?
The scenario.
Would you? Would you, George? It could get me out of so much trouble.
Yes, yes, I could do it. For a friend. But you must know...
It is a lie. A necessary lie, George, to help a friend.
Mm. Very well, I'll do it.
Right, then.
Yeah, no, one moment. No. Something to show you.
Oh, what is it, George? We don't want to lose the impetus.
No. It's just a... I've so few friends to show my tricks to. Now, this is a remote control. As I press it, you watch Brunhilde.
Yes.
Combination of taxidermy and electronics. I did it last night. I worked very hard last night.
Brilliant. Well, shall I bring on a dancing bear?
Yes, why not?
Constable McIver, come in here a minute.
What is it?
Mr. Marchbanks has something to say to you. I'm off to the toilet.
But I...
Now, you just stand there, John. And George, you speak up, nice and clearly.
I will.
Right, and the best of British to you both.
You have something to tell me, Mr. Marchbanks.
Yes, I have, Constable McIver. Strictly between the two of us, and should you noise it abroad, I shall, of course, deny it, but... Yes, I did push my wife over that cliff. The tide took her. She's probably at the Scilly Isles by now.
This is a confession.
Yes, it is. And I hope it makes you happy.
Happy? I'm an excelsis! You wee beauty!
Hey, did you get... It's a Pope, a Catholic!
Hold on!
You were going to the loo.
Blag a double thing, George. Happens all the time. Well, listen,
those that are here, see here.
Yes, I did push my wife over that cliff. The tide took her. She's probably at the Scilly
Isles.
Yes, it is.
Why a fussing?
Oh, but I...
Well, George, I'm afraid that this little recording has a very good chance of standing up in a court of law.
But you betrayed me.
It's the Easter message, George, policeman first, friend second. I did tell you the truth. But not quite all.
I see.
And this little piggy went to get your hat and coat at station time.
But it was only pretend.
I know. Your confession was a load of bollock that I tricked you into in order to extract. But in court, I will bear false witness. I will perjure myself to hell and back. And they'll believe me, because I've got that ability.
Yes, you certainly have. What about you?
Oh, as long as I don't have to tell any fibs myself, personally, I am not my brother's keeper.
I see.
You see, George, you have been trapped by the composite going explicit.
It's in the manual. Now, kiss the bear goodbye.
What about the implicit? Is that mentioned? Implicit in the fact... that you did not turn up yesterday, while I waited all day and night, was the knowledge that something must have gone unexpectedly wrong. And so you would be back with a new stratagem.
So with that in mind, I worked all night to take certain precautions. This remote control moves Brunhilde's arm. It also activates something else. You might call it a bear bug.
Well, your confession was a load of bollocks that I tricked you into in order to extract that in court. I will therefore with this. I will perjure myself to hell and back.
Perfidious Albion!
Don't bother trying to search and destroy. This transmission has been beamed on shortwave to a friend of mine nearby, and he is also wired for sound.
It's a bluff!
No, he doesn't bluff, John. He just thinks ahead.
No!
Great, so. Well, time to depart. I was always in a quandary about you, George. Always.
Yes, you told quite a lot of the truth.
Professional pride, you see.
Well, I was very provocative.
Provocative? You're a dirty wee fly, murder suspect number one. That's no fair, sticking things inside a beastie.
Come along, John.
Oh, wait. A revelation is at hand.
You mean resurrection?
That's it, in reverse.
Hey,
if he can put a wee bit of equipment in the bear, what else can he put inside it?
I don't follow.
Well, that's been the problem, isn't it? What did he do with a body? It's been under our noses all the time. It's his hobby. That's what he's done with his wife's cadaver. He stuffed it inside the bear.
God almighty.
No.
A knife. That's an easy death.
No, stop him. You had to want it.
No chance. His Celtic blood is off, George. And besides, he might very well be right.
Big way. Oh, look at the size of her. Oh, she's a cornucopia for corpses.
No, you'll have her.
Over she goes. On your back, you behemoth! I shall excavate, eviscerate, and steam ye through the gizzard to the bowels! Margot, come out wherever ye are! Ah! No!
Stuff him. Just stuff.
No.
Come on, John. We'll get you home. We won't be back, sir, ever. Put your wife down as lost at sea, shall we?
Whatever you like.
Nice cup of cocoa. You'll be as right as rain, John.
Don't forget, we've got the laboratory detail tomorrow.
Did it work, sir? The entrapment.
Yeah, knock the stuffing out of him, Barakloff. Come over here and help Constable McIver dig a car, will you?
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. Oh, you can't beat the manual, can you, sir?
No, it's foolproof. Go away, Barakloff.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. Come on, Constable. Right foot. Left foot. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Right.
Pity. Yeah. We could have been friends, George, but nature of the job, eh?
Yes.
Incidentally, sir, what did you do with your wife's body?
Put it into cold storage.
I'll bet. Well, goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Brunhilde, my poor love. What has he done to your abdomen?
Oh, never mind. I shall mend your poor wounded body. Come sit by me. Rest your head upon my lap. Ah, that's better, is it not? Ah, my friends, what is truth? Said jesting Pilate, and would not wait for answer. Ah, in this case, the truth was so mundane. One was forced to dress it up to pass the time and escape the consequences. Observe, a packet of boilings. Margot was munching on them as we sped down the A40. Two of them had stuck together. Such is the nature of boilings. And she carelessly popped both into her mouth at the same time. She began to cough, splutter, choke. I pulled into a lay-by, thumped her on the back. She thought I was attacking her. I tried to get my fingers down her throat. She scratched, kicked, beat upon me, then coughed, spluttered, choked, and died. Windpipe full of coagulated glucose. Mundane, mundane. As she died, the boiling spat out of her throat onto my lapel, so there I was with a dead wife, my finger marks on her neck, her scratches on my face, a corpse on my hands, in the dead of night. Get her home, get her inside, and then the problem. What to do with the body?
Ah, Neville. Did you receive the transmission? Good, good. Interesting problem, wasn't it? Hold on.
That's better. Oh, yes, everything went tickety-boo. Yes, they've gone. I feel a trifle empty now. Not as empty as Brunhilde, however. Yeah, they told me about visiting you. Just as well they didn't see into your little back room. Two taxidermists in the one area would have been a bit too much of a coincidence, eh? Yes. As well, the fridge was empty by the time you got it back into the depot, so you told them the truth. Now, how are you getting on? I thought the flippers would be difficult. But do the best you can, eh? No, I think she'll fit in here very well. I thought I might call her Silky. Nice name for a seal. Oh, no, there's no hurry. And thank you again. Nice to have a real friend. I'll do the same for you sometime. Goodbye, Neville. Well, my boon companions, sufficient unto the day. Now, shall I tell you a bedtime story about a duck, a crocodile, a heron, a wounded bear, and a seal who was almost human?
George was played by Bernard Hepton. Smith, Norman Jones. MacIver, Alex Norton. Barraclough, Stephen Tompkinson. With Anthony Jackson and Kim Wall. The Wind Bear was written by David Ashton and directed by Jane Morgan.